Hi, thank you for coming. This is Selling U.S. Destinations and Attractions After a Crisis. So this is a very topical subject right now. Nobody brought their face mask?
They're all out.
Today we have Managing Director of Perceptor Travel and President of Kathleen Johnson Tourism Consultants. She's one of the foremost authorities on travel and tourism marketing and communications. She has developed marketing campaigns for countries including the United States, Mexico, and Brazil, and for a wide variety of airlines, hotels, tour and transportation companies, and associations. Please welcome Kathleen Johnson.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, see, I just expected nobody to come, and then there had to be a crisis, and now here you are. So, when we originally devised this course, we talked about really focusing on the aftermath of a crisis. But given where we are and what the news is these days, I wanted to go back and talk a little bit also about preparedness. And then I'm going to focus more on what do we do once the crisis is over to bring us back. So first of all, could you tell me how many of you are DMOs? Okay. And suppliers? I take it are the rest of you. Okay. Kind of half and half. So I'm going to try to address the issues in both of those areas. But I wanted to start out by saying that preparedness is something that you can never be prepared enough. And I had a recent example with a friend of mine who is in the room, but where we, I had worked with a group and we had worked together on the crisis plan and felt that we were really, really prepared. And we had done our holding statements and we had done our key messages and we, were really focusing a lot on safety and on crisis. And then we went to a meeting in a destination that at the time was pretty crisis prone. And when we were 3 days out of our meeting and we looked at each other and went, we don't have a crisis plan. And now here I'm a crisis expert and my client was a crisis expert. And we realized that even though we had the crisis plan on the shelf and it was pretty recent, we hadn't done what we needed to do for the moment that we were in. And so I just want to tell you that no matter how prepared you might think you are not. So you have to just go over it over and over and over again and try to remember that you always have to update your crisis plan to the minute, wherever you're going, and particularly if you are receiving or taking guests. So I'm going to go over that and probably run through some of this pretty quickly. And if you have anything that you want to ask me more about, you want to stop me, you want to discuss it, just raise your hand, yell out. You know, it's a very small group, so we can just be very, very casual. So to begin with, how do you know that you have a crisis? Well, most of us know. I mean, right now, we definitely know that we have a crisis with the coronavirus. But there are times when you're not even really sure that you have a crisis. So we have to really think about what are the things that give us that overwhelming message that we're in a crisis. So first of all, if there's a threat to your company, to your reputation, if someone has said something about you, if they've said something on social media, if they have started a rumor mill, anything like that that threatens to hurt your reputation and hurt your business, you have a crisis. If you are traveling to or in an unsafe destination, so if you're traveling to a place where there's a hurricane impending or an earthquake has recently happened, or if there is, if you're going to Taiwan and you know that there are demonstrations, then you are in a crisis situation because you have to be prepared for anything that happens. If someone has notified you that you have a crisis and you didn't even know about it, and that happens a lot of times, we're all big companies and lots of things happen that we can't be aware of all the time. So that could be a crisis. Certainly fatalities, injuries, absolutely. If the media are calling you and saying, hey, did you know that there was a bus overturned on Highway 95 and you know you've got somebody there, and you might not have known about it. So if the media is calling you, they know about it, and you need to know about it really fast. So so these are some of the ways that you can know that you're in a crisis situation, and so that's why it's time to be prepared. So first of all, absolutely have to appoint a crisis team. And how many of you in this room, number one, how many of you in this room know that you'll be at the front line if there's a crisis in your company? Just one of you. Okay. Well, the other point is you never know, because you might be. You might be the person in the place where the crisis is happening. So consider yourself on the front line. How many of you know if you have a crisis plan or procedures? Okay. See, and so that's like 5 out of 15. Not good. We need to get all of you really on the page where you have a crisis plan. Communications vehicles, because when you think about Puerto Rico, did I hear somebody in the room say that you were from Puerto Rico? Okay, think about poor Puerto Rico, and so many of their communications vehicles were destroyed in the hurricane and later in the earthquake. So you have to have alternates, and we'll talk about that a little bit. You have to have a spokesperson. They're absolutely key, and you have to train them before the crisis happens. And then this, even though this seems very aspirational, it's very real. You have to have an annual crisis drill so that everyone in your company understands absolutely what their roles and responsibilities are. So the crisis team should basically consist of your president or CEO. There has to be someone who has absolute decision-making authority. Your chief operations officer, because operations always come into play. And also, I just want to make a point too. I'm going to be covering crisis communications primarily today, but there should be an entire crisis operations plan in addition to your communications plan. And they're two very different things. So just because you got your speaking points and your holding statements done doesn't mean that the job is finished, because there's a lot more that you need to do. A chief communications officer becomes absolutely crucial in any crisis. Legal counsel, coming from the world of PR, I always used to poo-poo the legal counsel. Not anymore. Legal counsel is absolutely essential in a crisis team, because you have to know what your liabilities are. And they also, the legal counsel, they have also mellowed. They're not as black and white and cut and dry as they used to be. They really understand the nuances now of a crisis. Safety officer, if you have one. Not a lot of companies have that, but motor coach companies typically will have a safety officer. And then if you answer to a board, if you're on an association, then your board president or chairman should also be on the crisis team. And one thing about the crisis team that truly is imperative is that the people on the crisis team have to be given the authority to make decisions and to speak on behalf of the company. So if you have a bunch of lower level people on your crisis team because you don't want to bother with it and you want to give it to somebody who has time to write it, wrong. You need to have the highest level people in your company on that team and make sure that they know how to speak about what is happening. Now, I'm going to tool right through some of these, but know that you this presentation will be on the website, and if you don't see it, then you know, get a hold of me and I'll send it. But I've got roles and responsibilities for everybody who's on the crisis team, and it really is important that everyone understands what their role is, because if you, for example, were in a destination like Puerto Rico and you were there and an earthquake hit, you have no presence of mind at that moment. You have to be able to go back to a resource and say, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do, and this is what my role is in this crisis situation. So it's very important to really get your protocols set up. So again, I've got a lot of details here that we'll probably go through pretty quickly, but in communications, there's two different areas. There's operations and then there's content. But in the operations area, you have to make sure that you have systems that go beyond Wi-Fi, because we all know how very often Wi-Fi will let us down. And so we have to make sure that we have another system or systems that can be a backup to Wi-Fi. So if you're totally reliant on your laptop and your Wi-Fi for your crisis plan, you're in big trouble if Wi-Fi goes down. So think about different phone systems, think about different servers, think about having different kinds of walkie-talkies, if you will, you know, different kinds of communication systems. And then also there are a number of crisis apps that you can get in the App Store that are really, really great tools in a crisis, because everything that you do and we're going to talk about today, you can put on that app and you can have it on your smartphone wherever you are. So I would highly recommend that you take a look at those. Content is something that you can be doing right this minute, and you could even do it while we're in this class. You have to start to, first of all, monitor everything. I know what I'm doing. Okay, I'm on that. Do you guys use Presenter View? Do you ever use that? Okay, you got to be careful because you're looking at the next slide. So monitoring. First of all, we have to monitor social media. That has to be the very first thing that you start to do. It's so interesting because I'm doing a presentation tomorrow about millennials, and everything is about social media and how it really rules our lives these days. But in a crisis situation, it can be our friend as well as our foe. So we have to monitor all of the news outlets. And then the person who is at the head of the communications team needs to make a decision, if the crisis is bad enough, whether or not to shut down your social media pages and outlets. Because sometimes it's absolutely necessary. If it starts to go totally cattywampus on you, you sometimes need to shut down and then restart when you've got the right information. But that needs to be an experienced communications officer who can make that decision, in probably in tandem with your CEO. Also, it's really important to have an emergency 800 number. Have a dark site on your website that you can put information into right away and get people up to speed. So your chief communications officer should really be in charge of that. Back to content. And we're going to talk a lot about key messages, holding statements, et cetera, because these are also things that you could go back to your room and do them now. You know, probably if you know your company well enough, these are things that you could really do quickly. And so it's important that your chief communications officer has examples of these done way in advance of any crisis striking. So, for example, given what we are going through right now with the coronavirus, there you could already have a holding statement for your company in the case of any kind of a pandemic or epidemic or a problem like we're going through right now. Key messages are very important to have. You probably, if you have a good communications person in your company, have key messages already about your company. These are pretty easily translatable back into crisis. But basically, it's the description of your company, it's your mission, it's your values, it's the things that you want people to know about when you're in a crisis situation. So if you're, for example, if your safety practices are being questioned, you want to make sure that you have a key message about that. If the judgment of your CEO is being questioned, you want to make sure that you have some messages about that. And also the most important things, like who do I contact, where do I go next, etc. And these are the key elements of a statement. But I wanted to show you that we've got, if you go on to the U.S. Travel Association website right now, you'll see that they've done their crisis job really well. They already have talking points and key messages for the coronavirus online. So if any of you are concerned about the virus, I would suggest that you go to USTA. And I know my friend Carol Ann at CIDA has already put up a statement on her webpage about what her members should be thinking about and doing. So key messages, these would have come right from USTA's key messages and would have gone up very, very quickly on their page. Then holding statements. Holding statements are that's the crux of the press release that you want to send out, basically. So if you're in a crisis situation and you need to get information out to the public, you can prepare holding statements right now that will give you the skeleton for what you should do. And I'll tell you, in the situation I was talking about in the beginning where we realized that we were in a place and we should have had a crisis plan and didn't, we got one up really, really fast because we had all of this on the shelf. We had key messages. We had some example holding statements. So we were able to basically, you know, plug in the situation that we were into and get that up right away. So if you have this done, and I said update annually, I'm revising that. I mean, update it every month, every week. You know, I mean, really know exactly what you've got up there all the time. You should create a statement for any of these things, you know, and these would apply to suppliers and DMOs here, but just sit down for 5 minutes and think about what are the potential kinds of crises that you would go through, and then write yourself a holding statement for each and every one of them. It doesn't, you know, it's not going to be correct, but it's going to give you a direction to go when you're in that situation that where you can't think. So I was very happy to see that USTA also had a holding statement. And I'm going to read this because you might want to go on and have this in your back pocket. Can you all read it, or should I read it for you? I'll read it anyway. We are aware that U.S. officials have now imposed extra precautionary measures that are specifically targeted at travelers seeking to enter the U.S. from China, including the temporary quarantining of returning U.S. nationals. We note that there are not any warnings for all travel within the U.S. or directed at anyone who has not been to China. We applaud the steps being taken to keep the U.S. safe and urge officials to continually vet precautions. So as you can see, even it goes from what's really happening, what's the situation, into, you know, a little bit of the philosophy of U.S. travel, too. So the fact that they're applauding others, that they're vetting things, you know, these that's saying something about U.S. travel as well as about the crisis situation. So holding statements, very, very important. We need to then think about communications vehicles for your members, for your guests, for your company. An 800 number if you don't have one, Facebook page, dark site, again, the app. Hashtags are great because you can aggregate all of your information in a hashtag. Use those other methods of communication like Snapchat if it's something that affects students or younger people, Snapchat is a great way to communicate. And then if you're all in the international market, so don't ever forget WhatsApp, because a lot of the international guests and companies use WhatsApp, WeChat for China, etc. So the different cultures, particularly China and India, have a little bit different communications vehicles. What we find in the U.S. is primarily Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. So those are the big three that you really should probably focus a lot of your attention on. Then be sure to train your spokesperson. The worst thing that you want is to have your spokesperson up in front of the media stumbling and bumbling or refusing to answer a question or giving wrong information. So think about who you're going to choose as your spokesperson. They have to be calm and cool under pressure, absolutely. Preferably your most senior officer. The worst thing that you can do in a really dire crisis situation is to put a young, inexperienced person in front of a camera. We've seen it with United, we've seen it with so many of the major crises where they will put an underling on camera because they're too nervous about getting out there. And that says so much about your company right off the bat, that you're afraid to face the media, that you really don't have your act together, that you that you're hiding something, because the public loves to think you're hiding something, so they'll look at any excuse to believe that you're hiding something. And the worst one is not to have a senior officer there. These are pretty self-explanatory. High energy is really important. I do remember when United was going through some of its biggest crises. And, you know, when they dragged the person off the plane, and you know, the United CEO at the time was so low energy, and you just went, oh, my God, you know, this guy is not going to be able to pull them through this. So it's really important to have someone that instills confidence. That's the most important thing. And you all know who that person is in your company. This could take days to go through this. So I'm only going to go through the top line of when the crisis hits, and then we're going to talk about what you should do afterwards, because I think right now, given the coronavirus, it might be more timely to talk about. But basically, once you have this whole plan, it's easy then to mobilize. It's because you're going to have all of your protocols in one place, and you're going to know your crisis team, and you're going to know who's going to call who, and you're going to be able to do all of this very quickly. The most important thing, as I said earlier, too, is get on the media immediately. Don't wait for that. That is something that you should be doing as soon as you understand that there's a crisis. Someone has to prepare a brief. That's usually your chief communications officer, who needs to get to the crisis team the top line of what's happening as fast as possible so that you can then mobilize everyone and brief the team and assign your spokesperson. And then, again, like I said, I could go into a million different details about what happens in a crisis, but in a crisis is always going to be different. So as long as you have your crisis plan that lays out the infrastructure for what to do, it's going to change all the time. So maybe next IITA will do something right on the crisis. But today I want to skip now to what do we do when the crisis passes? Because we're going to hope that the coronavirus passes very quickly. And if that's how many of you feel that you're going to be affected by that? Everybody, yeah. And I would imagine in very different ways. So hopefully what I'm about to tell you will cover most of those ways, but then I also want to make sure that we have enough time to discuss it and see what your experiences are and see if we can help you directly. So my first point is to don't assume anything about a crisis, assess it first. And today has been a really excellent example of that, and I applaud IITA for having Roger here and the rest of the experts who were able to really give us some information that we desperately need. So I would say, first of all, assess the real damage. And when I say the real damage, is your image truly being hurt? Are there fatalities or just inconveniences? Some people will tell you that the fact that people maybe couldn't get on the train in 5 minutes, that it was taking half an hour, that's not a life and death situation. This is an inconvenience. And so you really have to discern between what is the real damage in your crisis situation. How has your distribution system been affected? And that's everything from communications to communications with your travel agents, with your OTAs, with everybody who's affecting your business. And so are you totally cut off, as they were in the case of Puerto Rico, in the case of the wildfires? A lot of times those distribution systems have been affected so that they can't even continue to do business. So that's a dire circumstance. And what are your clients and your audience's concerns? It might be things like, is the bridge closed? Can I drive there? Will I have clean water to drink when I get there? Will I have electricity? So there's going to be so many different problems that you can conceive of. And you might want to just list those right away as part of your early on assessment of the damage so that you can address them one by one. And then it's really important to think about what is the marketing that you have out in the field when you're in the midst of a crisis. And one of the most recent examples was Australia, as they were going through the wildfires, had a very extensive advertising campaign with Kylie Minogue. And she was singing in front of, you know, koala bears and, you know, and this is when you're getting reports of millions and millions of animals dying. And she was in front of many of the spots where the wildfires were happening. So that can be disastrous for your image. So you have to, you know, think fast, think of what you have out there, and not just things that you might have recently put out there, but what could still be hanging out there on social media and YouTube. So it's a really good idea to sit down and assess all of your communications outlets when a crisis starts to hit. So first assess, don't assume what the damage is. I think the coronavirus is an excellent example. You know, we're all making a lot of assumptions about what's happening with this, but when we listen to, you know, a trusted source like Roger, then we really know what's happening. So then, of course, it's important to really keep communications open. And it was kind of funny because I really had written all of this before the panel this morning, but it was nice to hear them all kind of say the same thing. But again, monitor all of your social media channels, including the international channels, and then use them for updates. Don't just read them and look at them, but update. Look at your reviews right away. If you're in any kind of a communications social media channel where you're getting reviewed or people can comment. If it's interactive, look at that right away and get someone. I would highly recommend you put someone on that job who is constantly monitoring and responding to all of that. Set up a team of people, or if you don't have a whole team, get on the phone yourself, but you really need to immediately start contacting all of your clients and your members, etc., because they really they need to hear from you directly. They're hearing all the same rumors that you are, and they're going to wonder what your response is. Keep your website updated. Again, I turn to, you know, CIDA, to USTA. Look at any of the authoritative websites. They're going to be updated right away. And there's nothing worse than going to a website and seeing something from 2016 when you're in the midst of a crisis. Also, if you have media resources that you trust, and how many of you are in the PR or the marketing area? Okay. You know, use your media resources if you trust them and ask them to get information out, because they do want to help. We love to hate the media, but they do want to help, especially in the case of a crisis. So use them for your own channels. Rely on the trusted media resources, like in our case right now, CDC, WIH, U.S. Travel. All of those are trusted resources, and that's who we should go to. And then TV and radio outlets for updates. One thing I think is kind of amusing, when you look at the millennials and the Gen Z, they don't read the papers anymore. I think it's really funny. I get on an airplane in the morning, and I've got the New York Times, and it's all stuffed up, you know, and nobody else is reading the paper. But people, older people, still do read the paper, and most people will turn to their local media first to get information. So don't overlook those media channels that you might not look at when you're looking aspirationally and when you're looking at marketing programs. So look at them all. Honesty is the best policy. And there is a really poignant story about this. I don't know if you all read, but Sunday in the New York Times, as I was reading it, there is a story about a doctor in Wuhan, where the virus started, who actually did see that there was a mysterious illness. He reported it to his medical community, and 3 days later, he got a notice from the China authorities that he had to sign a statement saying that he had participated in illegal activity by reporting the virus. And so this was quashed right away. And unfortunately, that kind of holding back on information is part of what allowed this virus to get a hold, that now they are reacting almost in the totally opposite manner to get the information out. So that's an extreme story, but it's a true story, and it's something that really that you have to be careful of. So silence is deadly. If you are at the epicenter of a crisis, you cannot be silent. You can say, I don't know, or I will get back to you, or let me find out some better information for you, but you cannot be silent. And that's where I would fight a lawyer, you know, who might say, you know, don't say a word. But in which case, really have to look at your liabilities versus the reality of the situation. But even, you know, false statements, little white lies will come back and get you. So you have to be very, very honest. Honesty, it's okay to say you don't know, because you're not omnipotent. Along those lines, what are the realities of the situation that you're in? You really have to educate people about it. So we all know that geographic ignorance is one of our biggest enemies, and particularly when it comes to a natural disaster. So, you know, as far as everybody knows, the entire state of California has practically burned to the ground. You know, the entire country of Australia, the same thing. You know, this whole reality about how many people are being affected by the coronavirus. These all have to do with numbers and spaces and the realities of a crisis. So it's your job, particularly DMOs, it's your job to get that information out there and let people know what is the reality. And think visually, think maps, think scale. The size of this fire was no greater than the size of the borough of Manhattan, you know. So give people a way to compare reality versus rumor. We all know, and particularly with Gen Z and millennials to a certain extent, well, and then there's the baby boomers who can't remember anything, so we all have pretty short attention spans. So we have to remember that we have to repeat, we have to get the information out consistently, we have to repeat it, and we have to repeat it in many different forms so that people really get the message. And I think this is so important right now with the coronavirus. If we can't promote to that audience, then what are the alternatives? We have to think about alternative markets and alternative places to go. Again, I'm thinking of the airports in the U.S. that are receiving the Chinese visitors. If people are afraid of those, let's give them alternatives. So we always have to think about how we can give information and alternatives to our customers. I think Puerto Rico is probably one of the best examples I've seen of this in a really long time. When Puerto Rico had so much trouble, they really, really turned up the volume on the good news. They were quiet for a while, which they had to be. I'm so sorry. I keep missing you behind the pole. For so long, they had to be quiet because there really was no way that they could receive visitors given the situation that they were in. But they very, very quickly started to turn that around, and they found reasons to celebrate what was happening. They found festivals to promote. They found we were just in Puerto Rico, and we had a great session with storytellers from Puerto Rico telling us how they had been resilient and gotten through this situation. And one woman who owns a food tour company told us a great story about how she was despondent. Her business had really fallen apart. She didn't think she was going to be able to make it go again. And she had one customer call her and say that she wanted to bring a group who wanted to learn how to make mofongo. And mofongo is an iconic dish in Puerto Rico and really has a lot of heart, right? I mean, the Puerto Ricans believe mofongo is their family dish. So she had this group come down, and they learned how to make it, and they went around, and they had to do a search for plantains. So they had to, they made a whole tour out of this one dish. And that brought her back to life. And so, stories like that are the stories that you want to find, and you want to write them, and you want to get them to the media, and you want to have storytelling sessions so that you can really get people to understand how people are being resilient in the face of a crisis. Find anything that you can, anniversaries, new areas that opened up, a new beach opens up, whatever you can find. It's time to start making a whole inventory of what you can do to celebrate. So turn up the good news, turn down the bad news when this is over. This is so true with the coronavirus. So as soon as it starts to quiet down, start to think about stories to attract the Chinese again, because they're going to come back, and they're going to come back in droves. Social media, social media can be your best friend or your worst enemy. And so it's in time of crisis, it's really important to use it to your advantage. So this, you've seen this happen a million times with oil spill, anything that has to do with a beach or a natural area where people think that they can't visit again. You want to make sure that you have YouTube. If you don't have a channel, start one. Phone video, you don't have to have professionally produced video to get news out there. So you can do real-time videos of things that are happening on your beaches or in your affected area, and do 24/7, because again, people love to not trust you, and they're going to think that this is an old video that you did a while back. So you have a dateline, have a timestamp, make sure that people know that you're in real time. Keep your Instagram feed filled, but also use your friends and your associates and anybody that you can who is going out of your destination to be your best advertiser. So I'll bring up any of the areas that we've seen that have such bad disasters recently. When you leave California and go home to Chicago, make sure that you are showing Instagram pictures of those areas that are good, or those areas that have burned but where something new is happening, or that people are coming together to help. That's the other thing that's really, really important, is to show how people come together in order to help each other out, because that just it creates a momentum to bring people back to your destination. And then you have influencers that you don't even know about. So those of you who have a board, any one of your board members, that's part of their job, is to really promote you and to get the news out. So your board members, your friends, your media influencers, and again, storytellers are a great way to get your stories out. And then finally, don't beat yourself up. You have to really understand how long it takes to recover from a crisis. And this just came out. The World Travel and Tourism Council had this. That is the average number of months that it takes to recover from these kinds of crises. I thought it was interesting. Now, Roger this morning said he thought it would take about 18 months for us to recover from the coronavirus, but WTTC says 21 for a pandemic. So, some of these are long. As we move along, the world goes faster and faster, and sometimes we get past things a lot quicker. But you know, if you haven't recovered your percentage of business in 18 months, don't beat yourself up, because that's what happens. That's how long it takes. So, be kind to yourself, and then obviously, when the time is right, get out there and really start promoting. So, some of the things that you can do are seek partners, and seek partners on a large scale. Go to your OTAs, even if you are in an adversary relationship sometimes with your OTA, they're big. They have a lot of coverage. So get to your OTA and booking partners to do joint promotions, to get them to get news out there about you. Work with your travel agents and consortia. The tourism associations are great, but it's interesting. I even noticed something this morning. There are things going on with sustainability, for example, that Roger should have known about. You know, things that Tourism Cares is doing and some of the rest of us are doing. So don't forget your counterparts. You have to tell your story to your counterparts to make sure that we're all sharing the burden of getting the word out. Again, I point to Puerto Rico. One of the things that Puerto Rico did in spades was get to the associations and the meetings industry and got meetings back into Puerto Rico. And I myself have been to Puerto Rico twice now in the past year for different invitations. So seeing what they're doing, and each time they are taking that opportunity to tell their story to hundreds and hundreds of people that are coming in for meetings. So make sure you invite conferences and meetings to your location. FAM tours are great, and FAM tours don't have to be just the media. FAM tours can be travel agents, can be tour operators, etc. Get them out there. I know FAM tours are expensive and they're a pain in the patootie, but they work. So it's important to get the FAM tours out there and make sure people see what you're doing. Discounts, again, a lot of you don't like to discount your business, but in a crisis situation, it is something that you should be looking at after you're in your recovery phase. And then, of course, being from PR, aggressive media relations campaigns, advertising campaigns as well. So once it's over, go gangbusters. That's the thing. You know, you can be quiet. You can reserve your resources for marketing while you're undergoing the crisis, even though probably those resources are going to go towards recovery in a crisis situation. But once it's time, get out there and really don't be shy about getting out there. So I just, based on what I've learned and heard in the past few days, just some final thoughts on the coronavirus. Is number one, don't abandon China, because what I'm looking at too from millennial numbers, the millennials and the Gen Zs are going to be coming back like wildfire. So don't abandon your program; they'll be there. And also, don't forget, people really watch what you do while they can't come. So they're going to be looking at your attitude, at your promotions, at the way that you welcome them when they're ready to come back. So just watch your words, watch your language, even in your social media. Make sure that you're not being offensive in any way, no derogatory remarks or language, because people are watching all of that. We talked a lot in the supplier forum yesterday and the DMO forum about diversifying your targets, and I thought that was a great conversation because which you can be doing right now. So if you've got a big percentage of guests that are Chinese, start looking at India. Looks like a big market to me from what I saw in the millennial data. Obviously, Middle Eastern travelers, they also have the cash that the Chinese have. But the LGBT market, the student market, maybe you overlook the student market, and this is something that you can look at to diversify. Look at niche travel, culinary travel, if you haven't done it before, although most people are. But really start thinking about how you can diversify your market. You might get some surprises that you didn't even expect, and this can become a big advantage for you. And then, again, before you panic, check your sources. I think we're all so grateful that we got that information today that we can bring back to our companies and to our associations. But in the days to come, check all of these, because even Steve and I were talking yesterday, we were talking about 20,000 cases. Today, they're talking about 40,000 cases. So the numbers are changing every single day, so it's important. But there's also, today was new information about, I think, 400 cures that wasn't out there yesterday. So every single day, you have to check your information. So that is really all I have to say as far as the slides, but I really, we have plenty of time, actually. I went faster than I should have, to have a little bit of a discussion. So first of all, how many of you have been in a crisis situation recently? Would you like to tell us about it? And tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Rose, and I represent Destiny USA. It's a mixed-use attraction in upstate New York in Syracuse.
Okay.
We are the largest of our kind in New York State. We are a combination of retail, entertainment, lots of dining and overnight accommodations. On Black Friday at about 7 p.m., we have shooting in the food court. It was an isolated incident. It was between two thug-type locals, and it turned into, you know, terrorism and, you know, people tweeting, you know, bye mom and dad, I'm going to die, and the media just blowing it totally out of proportion. We had a police presence on site. They took over the situation, handled it with, you know, semi-automatics, you know, driving people out, only one entrance, you know, totally away from where they parked. A lot of first-timers on site had no idea where they were. People didn't know what was going on. It was bad, and it continues to fuel the media. The media is not our partner on this. We have a situation where there's a conflict between our communications staff, it's a privately owned company, and what they want out there versus what we feel should be out there. So it's a constant media jab.
Right.
You know, social media has not been kind. It was an isolated incident, but it continues to haunt us.
Okay. Can you share with us like two major lessons that you've learned from going through a crisis?
You know, we do go through lockdown training, and that was probably the most positive thing we got out of it, because we did have the public who was contained in back rooms of stores with gates down, praising how cool and level-headed these managers were, and that they had to have learned it someplace. We even had some clients, or, you know, some of the customers write to corporate Eddie Bauer praising how the staff, you know, acted. So that was a positive. It made us feel good. That's probably the only thing we felt good about, but it did make us feel good that our good managers knew how to react. Yeah. We also learned that we had to be more assertive with the police presence. It is our private property, it's private property, they do not own the property, and they needed to work with us versus take over.
Okay.
And that's been made crystal clear to the chief of police, our on-site police force, so on and so forth, in several meetings with the district attorney's office, the mayor's office, our company, you know, our management, to know.
So they listen to you?
Oh, they definitely do. Okay. We're the biggest game in town. They have to listen to us.
Okay. We throw that weight around.
But it was, you know, and it was right before there was a similar incident in Oklahoma. And then Oklahoma had a second incident the following weekend. We've had nothing since.
Okay.
But there's that public perception of safety, of you don't know what's going to happen when you walk in there now. There's such a perceived fear that it's not a safe environment. So it's been problematic.
Did you have a crisis plan?
We did.
You did?
Okay. We have a very strong communications director. Fortunately, I think five of our management team were on site. The problem was it happened so fast, and you know there were people watching movies who were oblivious as to what was happening. Yet there were people in stores who were locked in stores. The police department said that they put everything out on their Twitter account, which that's how they tend to communicate. Mm-hmm. But not everyone follows them. So,
exactly.
The unknown was not good.
Okay.
And I think we learned that we have to have, you know, there should have been mall-wide announcements going on.
Okay.
There should have been much better communication throughout the building. Very large building.
Have they started now to put recovery measures in place? I mean, are you starting to generate some good media about...
We're trying
back
very
to
hard.
Because the thing is, the media loves to cover the disaster, but hates to cover the recovery. Right.
And what the media's been doing, you know, we'll have a new store opening, they'll come on site, set up an interview, and then in the middle of the interview, they'll bring it up.
Yeah.
And we're trying to take all this positive we're putting out there and make it negative by reflecting back to the past.
Okay.
So that's been a problem.
Thank you for sharing. There's anything else you want to tell the group? Don't forget to A, B, and C, right?
You know, I think that I'll be back Thursday night, Friday. We're having a mall-wide merchant meeting, and we've called in the police department, our security department, and instead of it being, you know, promotionally focused and marketing focused and rah-rah focused, it's going to be reality focused.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to keep them, you know, very informed on exactly what we're doing, so that this doesn't happen again. And you know, we want to be a team.
Yes.
We don't want to see some of our merchants have turned on us, and you know, they've been communicating things to the media. They're bad merchants. You know, they say, well, you know, my sales are down because no one's coming. Well, your sales have been down before.
Exactly, right.
No one ever goes to your store.
Yeah, and again, the importance of of correcting that information, too.
Correct.
So hopefully you're getting out there and
correcting
the bad stories.
Okay.
It's interesting what you said about Twitter, because Twitter is not,
I know,
doesn't come up as the top communications, even for millennial or Gen Zs, which I thought it would, and it doesn't even show up. So
one of the things I would like, if it's okay with you, if you would share your presentation, if I could take a copy of it.
Sure, absolutely.
Share it with my people.
Yeah, no.
And also mention on Friday when the police are at the meeting, not in front of the group, but that a trained professional said, Twitter's not the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you could pass that along to our president, too, that would be nice.
That'd be better than nice.
Right. Yes, of course you can have it. And like I said, I mean, it's going to be on the IITA website, too, so anybody can have it. Anybody else would like to share it with the group? Carolyn. Sorry.
So I was just thinking, I'm with CITUS, Community Travel Association, and even if many of you aren't responsible for your crisis plans, we found that it was really helpful for many of our attraction members and hotels to be able to say, hey, I'm not responsible for this, but I know what our crisis plan is. We're actively participating, so if you're considering our hotel during these times, let me share with you that we're actively working in that area. So we, even if you're not responsible, you don't write it, you're not the first responder, you are going to be surprised if they get that customer who asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you're prepared and you know where it is, you know how it operates, and you can say, great question. As a matter of fact, we just did some training. So Mm-hmm. You know, we're encouraging everybody to play an active role in understanding at least what would happen should you have an emergency, whether it's a museum or an attraction. So, you know, again, a lot of us aren't responsible for writing it or implementing, but we still play a role because you're the liaison to the customer. And if you don't know what your plan is, it really reflects badly on who you are. So that's a recommendation we have now, just encouraging everybody to participate.
And just a plug for SIDA too, SIDA has really made safety the central value of its association, and a certification program is just now being introduced for everyone, not just SIDA members, can be certified in safety through SIDA. So think about that. Yes.
To your point about working with I'm sorry, Carolyn Beamster, Shop Time Play USA.
Okay, great.
I'm very concerned about China. It's at SIDA and NTA and here. I'd like to expand on your comment about working with the travel associations.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, back, I don't know who remembers Superstorm Sandy, and downtown was under 8 feet of sludge, and I was working with the Seaport District and with the Seaport Museum, and we had just prior to the hurricane, we had launched a new brand for the Seaport Museum. Well, of course, everything was shut down for months, but we did a huge multifaceted recovery program that really had a lot of different components to it, but one of the most successful parts was the outreach that we did to NTA, SIDA, ABA, RSA back then,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of exposure and publicity that they gave us as we were going through the reopening efforts was tremendous.
Great.
Tremendous. And I had submitted the whole entire recovery program for what's called a SASI, Shop America Salutes Innovation, and it won. And I pulled it up because I'm meeting with the new museum in Nashville, and I pulled up the whole case study. So that's it. Oh, yeah, I just looked at it again.
That's great.
10 years or however long it's
been. Uh-huh.
And it really, when I went through all the slides, the component that happened to stand out the strongest was the efforts that we received from the travel associations.
That's great. Go ahead.
UIITA. So that works. Reach out to them and they'll be there for you.
That's great. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm asked to do a crisis presentation a lot, and I keep thinking, well, I got to say something new. But you know, the principles are the same.
Right.
It really doesn't change very much. The only thing that really changes now is social media and online presence as a communications vehicle. And the media is changing too. I mean, they're getting a little bit more, even more crazy.
Negative. Yeah.
What negative and exploitative
always,
and yeah.
It's very much about the negative. It must be what sells.
Of course,
because
it is,
no
yeah.
matter when you have great stories, it
right.
always they
right.
always interject something negative
yeah.
about.
And it's also not checking the facts anymore.
No,
yeah.
none. But people in general aren't either. Right?
Yes.
I mean, I work for SeaWorld. I'm the poster child of crisis.
Yes.
And you know, you have a documentary out there that's not based on any facts, but people don't check. People see something and take it for reality.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say the media doesn't check facts, nobody does.
No, they don't.
Hardly anybody does, if you say it that way. And
yeah.
so it is an uphill battle when you're facing a crisis, no matter... You know, if it's an isolated incident or if it's some, you know, it just, it is really uphill. It's
yeah.
hard.
It does happen, though. I brought this because, just reading more time. Five Caribbean resorts, the calm after the storm. So, you know, it does happen. The media does listen and they do promote, you know, the aftermath, the positive aftermath. So,
but do they promote the positive, or do they promote a resort that paid them money to do an editorial?
I'm going to hope that
yeah.
that is not the case, because it's the New York Times, but because this is, you know, this is an editorial
yeah.
section. Now, who knows?
Yeah.
But I would guess not for the New York Times. Other publications, yes. Yeah. But even, I have to say, if you have been in a crisis situation and you've got the resources to pay, do it, you know, because... any way that you can get your message out there is important. Did you want to share? You wanted to share
oh,
something.
I was just saying in terms of crisis, we in this area had to deal from
And we are who?
Oh, my name is Jeannie. I work at Hotel Venezia. I'm in Sarasota County. My name is Jeannie. I'm with Hotel Venezia. I'm in Sarasota County in the city of Venice. And it's been about a year and a half now that we went through a horrific red tide issue, which for the first time ever hit like national and international news. So we are still in a recovery phase from red tide. And there was absolutely nothing we could do about it other than pulling people from the state of Florida together and finding out what are we going to do to just ease people's minds to come back.
Right.
And looking at ways from a higher up, they're still trying to figure out what caused this. What caused this red tide is something that happens here all the time. It lasts for maybe a week and then it goes away. Well, a year and a half ago, it lasted for about 2 months. And it showed tons of dead fish floating up onto our beautiful beaches and so forth. And we lost a tremendous amount of business, And so, as I mentioned, we're still in a recovery phase from that, because when there were so many choices, people may say, oh, I love it down there, but, you know, let's not take a chance. Let's go here. We don't know what's going to happen this year. So, and then other than that, we're constantly in a crisis mode when it's hurricane season. So, and be prepared, like you said.
Is there one thing you could mention that really worked for you as far as, turning the tide of the way people felt about coming?
With
the tide,
with red tide. Well, we work very closely with all of our partners. We work very closely with our DMOs and with Visit Florida. And the main recommendation was to put forth on all branches of social media just positive pictures, And here's a picture of us on Siesta Key right now. We're here right now, and everything is wonderful. And just just keep that flow
keep going.
And with help from Visit Florida, they actually gave us marketing grants to help us cooperatively work together as groups to put it out there to say these are some of the specials we've got going, and come, you know, we didn't even want to say come back because there was never any reason to really leave after that was over, but just trying to be forward and put it forth in their mind. But that was about it. There was nothing we could do about it.
You just have to wait, right?
Yep. Just go through it and keep in touch with people saying it's all good now. But we lost and I don't blame them. We lost groups. We lost our transient business. Just fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Everything. So, but we're in recovery now.
Yeah,
it's good.
Good luck.
It's good.
Good. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for coming. I really am, like I said, I didn't expect a crowd today, but given the fact that we have a virus, oh, and don't forget your evaluations.
Yes.
Thank you, Julie.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.